Since 2002, Motley Fool's stock advisor has beaten the market by almost 5 times. And in 2020, 91% recommendations saw positive returns. Imagine what stock advisor could do for your portfolio. Visit fool.com/WSJ to find out.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, April 15th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies have gradually been coming into the mainstream. Between rising prices, more companies embracing digital currencies, and a new chairman of the SEC who's seen as friendlier to crypto, some people think that the time is coming for Bitcoin ETFs or exchange-traded funds. If they're approved, that could change investors' relationship to the digital currency. Our columnist Talis Demos will join us with more after these headlines. Nearly 36 of China's largest tech companies made public pledges to comply with the country's anti-monopoly laws. Several of the pledges, which were published by China's main antitrust watchdog, were strikingly similar in tone, expressing the company's resolve not to engage in anti-competitive behavior and listing the areas in which they would work to build a fair and competitive market. The pledges come as Beijing has been cracking down on the country's internet giants after China's best-known entrepreneur, the billionaire Jack Ma, publicly criticized regulators in October. New federal regulations require that hospitals and insurers reveal pricing data, including the rates that insurers pay for services. Information that's long been confidential. But a recent Wall Street Journal report found that some hospitals use special coding to shield that information from Google and other search engines. Now, regulators say insurers shouldn't block pricing data from web searches. A spokesman for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services says its new guidance helps clarify the intent of the original regulation to make the information public and accessible. He didn't directly address whether CMS would issue similar guidance for hospitals in addition to the health insurers, but said the regulation requires the data to be, quote, easily accessible and void of barriers. And Dell says it'll spin off its $52 billion stake in the cloud software giant VMware. The computer maker says it'll use the net cash from the transaction to pay down debt and focus on an expected increase in consumer spending on PCs and infrastructure. All right, coming up next, Bitcoin is on the up and up. We'll take a look at one avenue that could be used to bring it further into the mainstream after the break.
The Motley Fool has been helping investors become smarter, happier, and richer for over 25 years. In fact, their flagship service, Motley Fool Stock Advisor, has beaten the market by almost 5 times. And of the 24 stocks recommended by Stock Advisor in 2020, 22 of them had positive returns. Wondering where to invest $1,000 right now? Hint, it has to do with 5G. Visit fool.com/WSJ.
Prices of digital currencies surged to record highs yesterday as the cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase became the first major crypto company to go public in the U.S. It made its trading debut on the NASDAQ and closed the day with an $85 billion valuation. Meanwhile, the Senate confirmed Gary Gensler as the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. He's a veteran regulator and banker who signaled that he might take a more open-minded approach to cryptocurrencies. The news has some investors thinking that crypto isn't going away anytime soon, and as a result, that we could see something like a Bitcoin exchange-traded fund in the near future. For more on this, we turn to our Heard on the Street columnist, Talis Demos. Hey, Talis, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Okay, so just to start out, it's a big question, but I wonder if you could start by explaining exchange-traded funds. What are they? How do they work?
You buy and sell an exchange-traded fund like you would buy a stock. It's listed on an exchange, and typically it represents a basket of stocks, but sometimes other things like bonds or commodities. For example, very popular ETFs include the S&P 500. It's one thing that you buy, and what you get is exposure to the entire S&P 500 index. So it's kind of a wrapper that you can buy and sell just like you would any stock, but that has some more complicated thing inside of it. It's a little bit like a mutual fund that you can just easily buy or sell.
And what do they do for investors?
They're an easy way for an investor to get an exposure to something more complicated. It might be a basket of stocks. It might be something that you can't buy like a stock, like a commodity. It might be a bond. So it's basically a way for an investor to get the benefits of the ease of stock ownership, but for something that's a little more complicated than just a vanilla share of a company.
Got it. So now there's a sense that a Bitcoin ETF could arrive in the U.S. in the not too distant future. First, what's driving that expectation?
Bitcoin has obviously been slowly kind of filtering into the mainstream of finance for a number of years now. And several years ago, a bunch of people applied to have an ETF that would essentially track the price of Bitcoin, that you could buy this ETF share like you do a stock. And if the price of Bitcoin went up, the ETF would go up. If the price of Bitcoin went down, the value of the ETF share would go down. But the SEC, because Bitcoin was this niche market with all the kinds of issues that surround Bitcoin, the SEC was not comfortable several years ago allowing for the creation of an ETF that could be bought and sold easily by any investor that was tied to Bitcoin. Now, people think that maybe the time is right for the SEC to finally start approving those Bitcoin ETFs. They think that the incoming leadership to the SEC, Gary Gensler, the chair, is somebody who is very understanding of crypto and might be amenable to these vehicles. He's taught cryptocurrency courses. So people think that that's a sign that the SEC might be open to this in the near future. But it remains to be seen how exactly the SEC will treat these applications. The Bitcoin market has also evolved over the last several years. It's a lot bigger. There are a lot more people who participate in it. It can still be volatile, but in some ways it's not quite as volatile as it was in the past. So a lot of people who have been in this space for a long time think that the time is finally right that the SEC will approve a Bitcoin ETF.
And so what would a Bitcoin ETF even look like?
A Bitcoin ETF would be something that you could look at. You could look at the ticker. You could go to your broker, whatever broker you use, online or otherwise, and buy it, just like a stock. So it would be, you'd type in a ticker for whatever that the name of that Bitcoin ETF was, and you'd buy the share. And if the value of Bitcoin went up, that ETF would go up. If the value of Bitcoin went down, that ETF would go down.
Pretty simple. So how would this change the average investor's relationship to Bitcoin?
This would make it even easier for the average investor to add Bitcoin to their portfolio. There are a couple of ways for investors to buy Bitcoin now. You could buy one of a couple of funds. You could buy through a wallet, which is like an online account that allows you to buy Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies directly. But an ETF would really be the simplest, most clear-cut way for an investor to put Bitcoin in their investment portfolio right alongside all the stocks and other things that they own.
Now, there's already a Canadian Bitcoin ETF. What has to happen before a U.S. version becomes a reality?
The SEC needs to approve a Bitcoin to list and trade on a U.S. exchange. There are a couple of companies with some big names like VanEck and Fidelity that are somewhere along that process. Once the SEC approves those for listing, it'll probably happen pretty quickly. But it's really unclear when the SEC might do that. There's not necessarily a hard and fast time frame for that.
And just broadening out here for a second, you know, Bitcoin has been around for a while now, but as we've talked about, seems to be kind of on the precipice of gaining more mainstream acceptance, and in some senses already has gained some acceptance. If Bitcoin ETFs do become more common, what could that mean for Bitcoin's place in our financial system?
Well, it might broaden the appeal of Bitcoin to just a wider pool of investors, and it might make Bitcoin something that feels more mainstream. It might have some impact on the number of people who want to invest in Bitcoin and put Bitcoin in their portfolios. Then again, you know, Bitcoin might still retain a lot of the volatility and other features that have scared some people away from it. So it's not clear how exactly it'll change investors' perceptions, but certainly for the world of companies that currently sell ways to access Bitcoin, it might be a game changer for them just because it might be the way that most investors want to get into Bitcoin because it's the most familiar.
So it sounds like all these new possibilities could end up, you know, leading investors to Bitcoin, but it's not clear yet if they'll put it in their digital wallets, if I can mix metaphors.
That's right. The Bitcoin market is setting up where there are going to be these increasingly easy options for buying Bitcoin. The question is whether the demand will be there. And, you know, at this very moment, it looks like there will be, but we'll see what the world looks like 6 months or a year from now.
All right, our Heard on the Street columnist, Telus Demos. Thanks, Telus.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.